All right, thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Deuteronomy 4a, God's Constitution. You know, the reason why liberals despise the United States Constitution so much is because it's framed according to the Constitution of God's kingdom, probably more so than any other government in all of the history of the world. And liberals feel that they don't have to live by God's laws. They feel they can build their own utopia on earth based off of socialism, communism, progressivism, multiculturalism, unity and diversity, and all those other wonderful sounding things where we can all just live together in harmony without any absolutes, without any definite rules of law, and so forth. But, you know, though many don't realize it, the original Israelite government was a representative government. It was a representative government based on the rule of law. And that law, of course, was God's law. Much like the way America was founded. Because America was founded, the basis of our government is the Constitution. That is the law of the land, the supreme law. And, you know, a lot of people look at America and they think it's a democracy. But you know what? America was not founded as a democracy, nor does God approve of democracies. For democracies are mob rule. They're ruled by public opinion rather than the rule of Almighty God's law. You know, and they're chaotic. They're full of disorder. And we're seeing that today as America transitions from its original founding as a republic towards a democracy. And we end up with all the problems we're having today, you know. A republic doesn't change. It's not supposed to change. The laws are not supposed to change. But yet, that's all we hear about constantly, is everything's always changing and we ought to accept change. When we're going to read about it today, is that we're going to start reading about it, is God already gave us a constitution to go by. He gave us laws and statutes that we are to follow. They're the laws of His kingdom. The laws that bring us happiness, peace, and prosperity and success. Yet, we have today liberals always trying to change everything. They want to change these laws and principles that are set in stone. They want to change the Bible. They want to change the United States Constitution. And so forth. And you know, and that's, you know, God approves of discipline and order. And that's just the way He is. That's the way He is. You know, if you look at creation, everything's orderly. Everything is in its proper place. This mob rule mentality that so many people have today is confusing. And, I'm going to bring up a point, too, is, you know, just one example of how we've been brainwashed so much that America's founders were terrible people, that they were so bad that we just need to keep progressing away from them, is when women did not have the right to vote. And that was such a big deal. We made some great step progressing towards this wonderful democracy. But you know what? What they don't realize is women did have the right to vote. Now, I don't want women getting all upset with me, calling me a male chauvinist over this, but think about this for a minute. In a representative government that was supposed to be a republic, it's not supposed to allow everybody to vote. That's not responsible, that doesn't have a stake in the future of the country. In fact, in the original constitution, the original laws, it was landowners were the ones that could vote and so forth. But what I'm going to say here about women not having the right to vote, that's nonsense. For the women had the right to vote through the man or the family. the way God would have it be, the natural order of things. You know, their family would, in other words, a family would cast their vote. And that's what we have, the system we have today. You have your delegates vote, actually cast the votes for the people. The people aren't directly voting for the president. And then each state casts their votes towards the overall vote. I mean, a lot of people don't understand the way a republic is supposed to work. It's representatives, not mob rule. You know, and I could go into the details of this many of the liberals in past elections, if our original voting things were put in place, the original laws were kept, we wouldn't have had many of these liberals come in and change things. That's just the way it is. So if you were confused at what I said there, hey, women always had the right to vote in America. They voted through their man. That almost, somebody accused me of being a male chauvinist for saying that. No, the man represented the household. So what you had there, you'd have families would be the primary voting block. And that's important because the family is the bedrock of a nation. Yeah, we always have to change things. And, you know, because we keep getting smarter, right? Well, not smarter than our founding fathers. I guarantee you that. But anyways, let us open in prayer and we'll get started studying this. Study on God's Constitution. Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we just pray for wisdom and understanding in your word today. We pray that we can learn your law, your ways, your covenant, so that we can follow you in a better way, in a more intelligent way, in a way that's more pleasing to you, in obedience and love and respect. And we pray this in the name of Yeshua Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, please turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, and it reads, "Now therefore hearken." This word hearken means to listen intelligently. You know, I wish a lot of, you know, it's too bad that this doesn't happen in America all that often anymore, because the preachers and pastors and teachers are not teaching God's word like they're supposed to. They're telling you stories, or they're just saying, hey, be saved and believe and vote for Obama, practically, in many cases. "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes." These are laws. You know, you have the Ten Commandments that are the that basically outline the law. And all the other commandments, all the other laws, hinge onto those. They stem forth from those. And that's what we're talking about. Statutes. "And unto the judgments." Now, these judgments are duties and punishments that are supposed to be administered according to the law. Like the death penalty for rape, incest, murder, and so forth. Those things are supposed to be carried out. So you're saying, hey, listen unto them. Learn them. You know, today, we have a lot of Christians today that say, oh, we don't need to worry about all those things way back here. Oh, we don't? Christ said he didn't come to change, in Matthew chapter 5, he said, I did not come to change one jot or tittle of the law. I only came to fulfill certain requirements of it, like the blood sacrifices, many of the religious rituals. But he didn't change the law. Laws are still very much in effect. I mean, in fact, if you go to the book of Revelation, Revelation 12 and Revelation 14, it mentions a group of steadfast Christians, that a remnant, if you would, that are basically in opposition to the rest of the world because they hold on to two things: the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Both God's laws as well as witnessing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That's what they held on to. It wasn't just the New Testament or just the Old Testament. It was both of them. because you're not going to be able to make it without one or the other. Hey, if you think you can follow the law alone without repentance, you're not going to make it. But if you think all you got to do is believe and not have any obedience to God's law and not try your best to follow it, to lead your life according to it, you're not going to make it either, because Christ said in many places, he said, hey, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you just say you love me and you don't attempt to follow my commandments, you're an imposter. You're just faking it. You're faking the funk. So he says, which I teach you for to do them, okay? Why? That you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. What is the law for? It's so that we can live, so that our society can survive and not commit suicide like it is today. Because we veered away from God's commandments. In fact, we even have our other major party in politics, the Democrat Party, openly reject God, though they've been doing it for many years with abortion and so forth. But taking God's name off of their party platform, and even when they introduced an amendment to bring it back in for political reasons, the majority of the delegates still shouted out no to Almighty God 3 times. If you're not convinced that the Democrat Party of today is the anti-Christian party of our time, then I don't know. I don't know how we can help you understand. I really don't. God's law is to give us life, to give us liberty, to give us freedom, to give us happiness. It's not restricting us from doing anything that's non-destructive. Oh, but I can't enjoy these things. I can't enjoy a promiscuity and things like that if I live under God's law. Oh, yeah? But enjoy yourself under a dictatorship then. Because that's when you break God's law, it leads to destruction. It does. You're not going to be free. Oh, you may enjoy your sin for a season, but somebody's going to control you pretty soon. And somebody's going to be your master, and it's not going to be Almighty God. It's going to be Satan. And he's a ruthless master, a ruthless dictator, one that does not care for you, one that does not love you like our Heavenly Father does. So it's our choice. It's our choice. Do we want to live by God's laws and be free? Live by God's constitution and be protected? Or live according to socialism, communism, and liberalism, basically, which is the doctrine of Satan himself? And if you're confused at how I can say that, I got a blog post titled up on our website titled, what is it? Can Democrats Be Christians? And you'll find much documentation there explaining why liberalism and socialism is Satan's doctrine. And, well, perhaps we'll go into that more at another time. But verse 2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you. No amendments to God's word. No changing it to fit what your needs, our needs. Neither shall you diminish. You shouldn't soften it to please somebody. You don't soften things so that people don't get upset with you. Like let's take, for instance, one major thing is gay marriage. We don't say, oh, okay, yeah, you can be a Christian but still get married to your lover, when God's law calls it an abomination. We don't say that out of hate. We say that because God knows, in God's eyes, he says it's an abomination. That's not my opinion. That's not my thought. I'm not being hateful. I'm being loving because God knows that when you go against his natural order of things, in a sense, you're being hateful to everybody else around you. Because what you're doing is not only destructive to yourself, but it's destructive to people around you. It's destructive to our nation as a whole. Because it destroys, in that case, in the case of homosexuality, it diminishes the value of the family. Again, which upholds the nation. Without the family, the government becomes the dictator. And the government isn't going to be nice. I can assure you that. Well, so don't soften it. You know, and some people have a problem with the way I teach at times. Because I refuse to soften God's word to please people, to try to get converts. You know, the true converts you want are those people that that when they hear the word, it sometimes pricks them a little bit. It gets their attention. They wake up. They're like, yeah, you know, I don't like what he says at first, but then it starts growing on them. You know, I really thought that guy was just a big meanie when I first heard him. That's what people will say at first when they hear somebody teaching the truth. And even at first I hated him for telling the truth because it convicted me. But now when I sat and thought about it, I'm looking at it, I understand why that teacher taught God's word without softening it. He did it because he loved me. He cared for me. He didn't want me to go to hell. He didn't want me to destroy myself. And he did it when it wasn't popular. When he knew that I would think he was just being a big meanie. Or that most people would dislike him for it. The majority. So we must not diminish the word. Moses didn't. God's prophets didn't. And neither should we, if we're going to be God's servants. Ought from it that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And you'll find the same warning given in the book of Revelation as well, towards the end. God does not want amendments to his word, changes to it. In fact, this even documents even more that Jesus Christ did not come to change one jot or tittle of the law because he followed the law. Part of the law is that you shouldn't change the law. He only fulfilled certain requirements of it, the blood sacrifices, the rituals, and so forth. But let me just say something. When we have a constitution, if we followed God's word like we should and wrote up our constitution, including all of his laws in this great book of Deuteronomy, we wouldn't have to add amendments, changes to improve upon God's constitution. Because what is that going to do? What's the purpose of having a constitution if you're changing it? It's going to bring you into a different way of life. It's going to bring change. Because Satan wants to get in there and change things. He'll use the majority to come in and say, hey, we need to change this because this rule just was not very nice, or so on and so forth. We don't like that law, that particular law of God. Let's change it. Beware of people who always want to change the Constitution rather than follow it. There's a reason why God doesn't want things changed, because he doesn't want Satan any room to work, any room to deceive, any room to control. But yet we allow him because we allow people to diminish and change God's constitution. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. There was 24,000 people killed in a plague because they followed this Baal Peor guy. And you'll find this written about, I think it's Numbers chapter Numbers chapter 25, you'll find this account written. But basically what this Baal Peor did is he convinced the Israelites, he was a false preacher, he convinced the Israelites to intermix with the Moabites and to follow their gods. In other words, he used interracial marriage to seduce the Israelites away from God's law. You know, God created things in the order that he wanted them. And this was the sin of Baal Peor. And you'll find this even written in the book of Revelation. God took it very serious. That's why this diversity and multiculturalism is in opposition to God's word. One law, one God. That's how it's supposed to be. You know, yeah, we had freedom of religion in our Constitution, and that's fine. It was supposed to be freedom. What our founders had in mind was freedom of Christian denomination. They did not intend for the culture to be changed away from a Christian culture, for it was based one nation under God. The Supreme Court even declared many times that this is a Christian nation. But so if you want to know the teachings of Baal Peor, hey, diversity and multiculturalism are the is the same thing as saying, hey, you're following Baal Peor, because that's what he promoted. That's what he promoted. But you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Those of you who took things seriously, did not believe in those things, you stayed alive. Verse 5, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Again, were they given these laws just so God could sit up there and say, hey, I told you so, just do it? No, he was trying to protect them. Just like our founders, when they framed the Constitution of the United States, they did it to protect us from tyranny. They tried to design it in a way that different branches of the government would keep other branches in check. And yet people despise it. Liberals always, they're so smart. Liberals are always so smart, aren't they? And some people get offended when I use the label liberal. But hey, when I say liberal, it's a political philosophy that when you analyze it is point for point against the word of God. So I'm not ashamed to use the label liberal one bit. In fact, you could even almost translate them to be, if you go to the book of Psalms, the ungodly, the lawless. For they are the same. Many do it in ignorance, yes. But are they going to come out of ignorance unless somebody stands up and tells them? No. So that's why we tell the truth, even if they don't like it. All right. Anyways, verse 6, keep therefore and do them. What? The statutes, the judgments. For this is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Not if we followed our own laws, not if we try to spread democracy around the world without the principles of God's word, without teaching the gospel of the kingdom. They're not going to look at us and say we're a great, wise, and understanding people. In fact, we're going to anger many people by doing that. They're going to look at what laws we follow. They're going to look at Hollywood and the immorality that we have, and they're going to look at us and say, how do we have the right to go impose our values of democracy upon the world when we have all this filth and abominations in our own country? when we have a president that is ungodly, how can we be respected? Am I talking against America? No way. I'm saying, hey, we need to get back to God's laws so that we can be respected. And then if nations want to mess with us then, and they attack us, hey, we go and we kick their you know what. And we show them what a Christian nation can do. We can fight. We are allowed, if we're doing the right things, to fight just wars, to punish those who attack us. But, you know, we run into lots of problems when we can't even fix our house, when we don't even know what we stand for. But that's what they would say. Hey, this nation is supposed to be a light and an example unto the world, a city upon a hill, a wise people, a just people, not an immoral and perverse people trying to do their own agenda. Because we cannot be wise and we cannot be a great nation without God's constitution, without basing everything we do off of His word. It can't happen. And you know, this is why America became great. America became wise and respected around the world. Because we used to follow these things. Our people used to educate themselves in God's word and teach it to their children and vote in politicians who would uphold these standards. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them? One nation under God. That's what we're supposed to be. As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments? So righteous is all this law, our constitution. Liberty and justice for all under God. Which I set before you this day. What nation is there? I tell you this, you know, a lot of people, you know, they want to call America Babylon, this or that. Oh, sure, America's influenced heavily by Mystery Babylon. I'm not denying that. Just as the Israelites of old were influenced by their surroundings, by Baal and Ashtoreth and all those false gods, but that didn't make them the fountainhead of the evil. America is not the source of evil on this earth. We have been duped into following much of it, but we did become great for a reason. And there's no other nation still, even though we are in our sin and immorality and depravity, there still is no other nation like America on the face of this planet. Don't blame America, my friends. Blame Mystery Babylon. Blame those imposters and deceivers that have slipped in among our country to deceive it. But don't blame the system. The original system, I should say. For God has a purpose with His people. For we are. America is made up of those 10 lost tribes. Of the children of Israel. That's why we call ourselves one nation under God. And why we have such an amazing constitution. Verse 9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. We're supposed to teach these to our children. God's word. Start them right when they're young, right when they can read, and start teaching them God's word so that they have that worldview that's correct and moral and right. Don't let the schools brainwash your children. It's hard today in this generation with the amount of brainwashing that goes into our public school system. It's hard for many Christians to keep their children in the right frame of mind. We've got a challenging generation, and it is our duty to do what we can to make sure they get the truth, to take heed to ourselves diligently. That's with discipline, studying day by day, staying focused on God's kingdom, and never forgetting about Him. Never forgetting about Him. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord thy God said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. There it was again. God wants His people to hear His words, and He wants us to pass it on to our children. And, you know, it's amazing that liberals today don't want the Ten Commandments in our children's schools, our courthouses, anywhere. Because you know what? They reject God. They don't want to live by His laws, His constitution. And they certainly don't want our children to see those Ten Commandments up on the wall at school and be drawn to God and His order and His discipline, and to see what they are teaching them is wrong. They don't want them to realize that liberalism and progressivism is ungodly, is evil. They don't want them to know that. They want to keep people deluded. So if they take the Ten Commandments, which is the foundation of God's kingdom, some would say Christ is. Yes, He is. He is the Word. He, in a sense, He is the commandments as well. There's no accident why they're trying to remove God, His name, and everything about Him away from us is because they want to control us. They want to move us into their false utopian dream of a world order where everybody lives in harmony and everybody has the same and we're all equal. And you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only you heard a voice. Now this is interesting. This is something for some of you deeper students to think about. Why did God not show His physical appearance to the Israelites? Why just a voice? I think there are many reasons for this. I think if they saw the similitude or saw His person. Well, there's other reasons too. Some would say some scriptures suggest that if people saw His glory, that they wouldn't be able to be in His presence, that they would die because we're full of sin. I think there are other reasons to that as well, as God wants us to listen to His commandments. Not just worship an image to give lip service to, but to listen to everything He teaches and to follow that, to take it with inside of us and to be obedient unto it, because that's what displays our love. And, well, I think we could go on and talk about that more, and perhaps you could do a whole study on why God did not show Himself to the Israelites. He just spoke to them by a voice. And, verse 13, and He declared unto you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and He wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. Notice He wrote them in stone. Why? So you can't so nobody could change it. Like they do today, like liberals do today. Oh, we don't follow God's law anymore. Just change this and that and just talk about love. That's Satanism, my friend. That's Satanism right from the beginning. Just turn to Genesis chapter 2. And you'll see that's the first thing Satan did was convince Adam and Eve that they didn't have to listen to God's commandment. That they can make up their own rules. Their own moral values. That they themselves could decide what's right and wrong for themselves. Who is God to tell you what to do? Satan says, hey, if you live under my kingdom, I'll let you decide those things. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. But a covenant is a, in a sense, when God made this with Israel, it was a sacred agreement. Even more than that, it was a marriage. A marriage contract. That the Israelites said, hey, we will follow and obey. Lord, we'll be your spiritual wife, so to speak. We will obey you. We will follow your rules. We will love you. And we'll talk about these. And if you didn't study the book of Hosea with us, the book of Hosea was all about how God's people violated his covenant. And how God was upset. And even divorced the Israelites because of it. If you haven't studied that book, go to our video archives. And go through there and find that and study those. It's a pretty amazing book, that story of God and his people. But we'll talk about the two tables of stone. Christ divided these up into two categories. The first five. He said, somebody asked him, I can't remember if it was a scribe or a Pharisee, what's the greatest commandment, Lord? And Christ answered with, the two greatest commandments are, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul. And that would break up the first five commandments on that first tablet. And the second five was, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that would be the second tablet. And a lot of people say, but the fifth commandment is honor your father and mother. But you know what? We'll go into that more in depth in another study. That is part of loving God with all your heart and all your soul, is the family. Family is so important to God. It means a lot to him to have honor and dignity and respect and love for your immediate family. Because again, it is the foundation of a free society, of a free God-loving society. Because, you know, if you cannot honor your father and mother, you're not going to honor any godly institution. You're not going to be respectful to anybody, to your nation, and even to God himself, if you can't respect from the smallest level your own parents, your own family, respecting elders. Treating those people who are older than us with respect. Not going around knocking into old people at the grocery store, get out of my way, old man or old lady. That's part of violating honoring your father and mother. Verse 14, and the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whether you go over to possess it. Take you therefore good heed unto yourselves. There it is again. Be real careful. Be cautious. Be disciplined. I so dislike areas of undiscipline. I just do not like it when you get into that setting where there's no discipline and there's chaos, because people act like vultures in places like that. That's why, you know, we believe, you know, in discipline here at Christian Overcomers. That's why we try to maintain order on our Facebook group page or something like that. That's why we don't allow anybody and everybody to post their own main comments. We let people comment on stuff we post. But we don't allow people to post all kinds of other stuff, because once you do that, people, it gets unruly. Because all it takes is one or two people there that don't really care about keeping order within the family of God to cause trouble. And then the whole thing gets crazy. It gets chaotic. For you saw no manner of similitude on that day that the Lord your God spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of fire. You guys didn't see God. You only heard his voice. And this is important. Verse 16. Lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of a male or a female. He's saying is, hey, God didn't show himself. One of the reasons God didn't show himself is because he didn't want the people to go ahead and start making an idol to him, a statue unto him, a representative of him. Because that's what all the heathens did. That's what all the pagans did. You know, they didn't necessarily worship the statue that they made. They just used that as something to help them worship their God. It represented them in some way. Like you'd have figures of, and we've got these on our, we have a video up, a documentary called Victory Over Evil. And when you watch that, we got a section there where we show many different depictions of these idols and statues and so forth. But some you'll see will have many different arms and hands. And it's all supposed to represent some abstract nature of God and how he's powerful or all-seeing or whatever. But that's not what God wants us to do. Even in good intentions, you know, the Israelites wanted, before Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, wanted something to represent God. And they convinced Aaron to build that golden calf for them so that they could worship God through that image. You know, they were used to that stuff in Egypt and so forth because they worshiped all these different idols and gods and so on. But if you want a good example of what democracy will give you, popular opinion, public opinion, is look at what happened with Aaron when he built that golden calf. He did it because the public opinion said, Aaron, build us something to worship. And Aaron, hey, everybody else is telling me to do this. He felt pressured to do it. That, my friend, is why democracy doesn't work. And that is one example early on why democracy is not approved of by God. It leads to Satan's government. That's how Satan gains control. But a republic based on the rule of law is what God approves of. That's his constitution. In fact, this whole book of Deuteronomy, you could even think of it as this whole book is God's constitution. The constitution of his kingdom. The way it operates, and even our Lord Jesus Christ on the Sermon on the Mount will go in and expound upon this and recover some of the points here and teach the law. And it's amazing. It's amazing. So he says, and this even goes to, some churches, they got, they deal heavily in images and things to help them worship, and they bow down to him, but I'm just doing it to worship God. I mean, I still am. Be careful. Be careful. You know, making a graven image also doesn't necessarily in this generation mean you have to literally carve out an image. In fact, we did a blog on it called Another Jesus. And what we documented there was that any time you frame or mold your own perception of God that is in contrast or in some points in opposition to the way God is revealed in the Bible. That's idolatry. You're forming a God that's more comfortable for you. In fact, you're kind of judging God. You're saying, no, God, I don't like that quality of you, so I'm going to kind of mold it and form it the way I kind of want you to be. How self-righteous is that? You know, a lot of people accuse teachers like myself of being self-righteous or judgmental because I want to stick to God's word and not soften or not change it to fit my needs. And they accuse me of being self-righteous, judgmental, when they are the ones that are self-righteous. They think they are more righteous than God. Because they look at some of these things, these laws, they see the death penalty given for rapists, murderers, child molesters, and so forth. And they think, well, that's a little bit cruel and unusual, don't you think? Cruel and unusual for you to kill somebody. No, it's not. It's cruel and unusual to let them go and to do it again to some other innocent little girl, little child. You self-righteous hypocrite, you. Come on. Wake up. We got so many of them today. You know, especially when some people get upset when I do this, but hey, discernment is just discernment. When you look out at liberals today, you see a whole room full of them at one of these conventions or something. You see heads up. Well, you see Obama's head up all the time. But you can see in their countenance a lot of self-righteousness. I am the taller and enlightened ones in those, you know, Bible-believing conservatives are just lowlifes to them. Scum that are holding us back from achieving this ultimate goal of world socialism. See who's the self-righteous one. Somebody who can't humble themselves to try to obey God's laws. Yeah, if somebody said that they were perfect and that they followed all of God's laws and that they didn't really need Jesus to forgive them, yeah, that would be self-righteous. But I see a lot more self-righteous people on the other side of the aisle, making up their own morals, saying whatever they can do is right. Don't tell me what to do. Anyways, we're going to talk about that as well. You know, well, I'm going to read these verses and we'll talk about that. The likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that it flieth in the air. And this is what all these pagan societies did. And don't think it's a thing of the past, because they do it today just in a different way. And we'll talk about it. Verse 18, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters and beneath the sea. This is sort of like your those who worship Mother Earth, environmentalists. Now, I'm not saying that we're not supposed to take care of the earth according to God's laws, you know, with how we're supposed to grow our crops and so forth. But I'm talking about those who make a religion, those who think they're self-righteous for recycling. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with recycling. I'm just saying people hold these green bags around, they walk around thinking they are just the holiest people on earth. Verse 19, unless thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. Don't look up to those planets, the sun and the star, and think that they're gods. You know, many people did this with astrology and so forth. And they worshipped Mars or Saturn, thinking that was, that represented their God. We could make huge studies into all these things, but basically they're worshipping the things of creation rather than God. And when you break this down today, this is primarily done in America anyways. This is primarily done by liberalism. Now listen to me. Liberalism is based on the philosophy of humanism, that doctrine. And do some research on it. Google it. Read the Humanist Manifesto and you'll see what I'm talking about. But humanism comes down to this. It comes down to Genesis chapter 2, where Satan told Adam and Eve that they didn't need to obey God's commandments. That if they listened to him, they would be enlightened. They would know the difference between good and evil. And they would progress themselves to be gods. That's what humanism is about. It's, hey, we can build our own utopia on earth. Apart from God's word, apart from his instructions, we can do it. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. But what it does is liberalism today has skipped, for the most part, all of this idolatrous worship, which all these things led to the same thing. It was the worship of self. That's where idolatry led. Hey, when they sacrificed to these gods, they were sacrificing to these gods so that they could have something in return. Whether they thought these gods were going to give them bountiful crops or pleasures or sex in the temple. Yes, that's what happened a lot. But it all boiled down to ultimately worshiping self. The core of Satan's doctrine in Genesis chapter 2. So basically what liberalism has done today is it skipped all the actual idol making for the most part. Sure, Obama has his his rainbow sun and everything behind him as kind of a symbol. And, you know, people sort of worship that. You see those on their bumper stickers all over the place. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of people in the Republican Party that have infiltrated that are not conservative Christians. They're what you call new conservatives or neocons. And they too are idolaters in many ways. For they want to form their own utopia on earth, this worldwide democracy, apart from God's law. And they too have formed their own God. Even many of them with good intentions, even. Oh yeah, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all just be free? It's not going to happen, my friends. It's not going to happen until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. It's a waste of time to think that we're going to somehow convince everybody just to be free and happy with each other. It doesn't work that way. And so anyways, what I'm trying to say is, liberalism is like the new idol today. It's that doctrine that pulls everything away from God to self and to man. Hey, it's my body. I can do with it what I want. I can murder my own baby. Hey, if I want to be gay, I can be gay. Hey, if I want to do this, who's going to tell me I shouldn't? Get the picture? It's rebellion against God. Don't get offended. Don't cry because I use the term liberal. It's just the way it is. It's the way they've become. And, the little Kenites, the liberals' masters, have designed it that way. They've deluded them to this false worship. Verse 20. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, that place where it was hard. They served in hard bondage to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. God saved you and gave you this inheritance, the land, the promised land. Think of the inheritance that we're squandering today. We, as Americans, we're living as the prodigal son who's wasting all of God's blessings, living it up and partying and so forth. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes and sware that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto the good land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land, and I must not go over Jordan, but you shall go over and possess that good land. Verse 23, take heed to yourselves. Another warning, again, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God. Lest you forget being one nation under God. Lest you forget being, your motto, in God we trust, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. Lest you turn around to go to liberalism, socialism, progressivism, and ultimately to Revelation 13, when that image is set up for all the world to worship. That's what's going to happen. God hath forbidden us to do that. Because, you know, to do that is treasonous. To make idols is treasonous. It takes your mind and focuses it on something other than God's kingdom. You know, really, ultimately, the only way you're going to come to God is through his word. By taking it within you, all of it. That's how you worship him. That's how you love him. And to do it as well, to perform it. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Hey, he doesn't like it. And look at what's happening to America today. We're experiencing some of that fire. Because we've violated his covenant, broken his commandments. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and you shall have remained long in the land, and you shall corrupt yourselves, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything, and you shall do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. And you shall not prolong your days upon it, but you shall utterly be destroyed. And that's happening today because we've refused to follow God and his commandments. We take his Ten Commandments out of our courthouses, out of our schools. We don't teach our children anymore like we should. We just let the schools brainwash them. We let Sesame Street raise them up. Rather than God and his word. And we are being kicked off our land and destroyed. Verse 27, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. Did you know that Israelite babies born in America this year, 2012, are only 49% of all babies born? My friends, these things are coming to pass. They're coming to pass. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. You're going to serve the big government. Big government socialism. You're going to work so hard and you're not going to have anything in return. You're going to be a slave to it. Because your friends, your liberal family members and friends thought this was wonderful to go and serve other gods. To make their own Jesus with their own hands. One that's accepting of every perverse thing. They can even make their pastors gay and say, hey, that's okay. And so forth. Hey, we're going to break this chapter up right there and we'll finish it the next time. But fascinating. Fascinating. God gave us all the framework that we needed here, the details of how to govern our nation, how to live free, how to live blessed. But yet we always want to make amendments to his word. We always want change. We're always seeking something new and exciting. And we always seek our own destruction, our own suicide, because our people do not know enough. You know, when they go into that voting booth and they vote for liberals like Obama. Many people who claim they're Christians and do so do not realize they're casting a vote for their own destruction. They're casting a vote to harm their neighbor. They're casting a vote to allow people to murder the unborn. These are very serious things. And, well, I'm not going to just keep dragging this on. We'll end it here. But you know what? Until next time, like we always say, be sure to study God's word. Absorb it. Gain as much knowledge as you can. Arm yourself with the truth so that you can be a Christian overcomer.